Spirit 88.9 FM, we are Catholic radio for the Christian community. Good morning. I want to personally welcome you to the Spirit Morning Show with Bruce McGregor and
Chris McGregor.
And today, we're delighted to have back with us Amy Welburn, one of the most requested Catholic commentators on the Da Vinci Code. She has literally been logging up those frequent flyer miles, dozens of network and cable news programs nationwide. Her bestseller, Decoding Da Vinci, has been translated into numerous languages. And she has about a dozen other books, including 2006's Decoding Mary Magdalene, Truth, Legend, and Lies, holds a Master of Arts in Church History from Vanderbilt University, and is also the author of the newly published The Da Vinci Code Mysteries, What the Movie Doesn't Tell You. Amy, good morning, and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You know, they don't have to take our words for it. They can listen to George Weigel and also Father Richard John Newhouse. They have all said you're the go-to person.
Oh, that's so nice of them. Yeah, that's really nice.
What's nice about the Da Vinci Code Mysteries is that it is set in a 100-question format, because I guess you've been getting a few questions, huh?
Oh, yeah. You know, what we wanted to do was focus this book on, you know, make it a little simpler, and focused on what I sort of sensed was making it, would survive from the translation from novel to film. Because, you know, there's a lot of picayune little details in the Da Vinci Code novel, which you could spend hundreds and hundreds of pages, you know, sort of tearing apart. But, you know, I wanted to do something that was, you know, shorter and more useful, kind of a handbook that you could just sort of buy and throw out to your friends as they insist on going to see this dreadful movie.
Oh, I think it's perfect, because I think it's a nice compliment to the two other books that you've authored, Decoding Da Vinci and also Decoding Mary Magdalene. And what's nice about this format as well is that at the end of each chapter, you give, where if you want it more in-depth answers to the questions, you can go to those books.
Right, yeah, that's exactly what we intended to do, because, I mean, it does raise questions, and people sometimes do want more information, so we wanted to direct them in the right way.
Well, we're hearing from listeners now more than ever, especially in this last week, haven't we, Bruce? People calling the station, emailing, wanting to know, because it's all, there seems to be this great momentum towards May 19th, and so people are wanting to know.
Yeah, and I've been, you know, sort of on edge, because I've been wondering how all this was going to go, you know, and not really knowing, and I still think we still don't know until it actually opens and we're through that opening weekend what's going to happen. But I've noticed it too. I mean, interest really is building, and I can tell that from my email. And I spoke in Houston on Saturday, and I had 400 people, you know, all of whom are very concerned and very interested.
Right. I think one of the interesting aspects too of the movie being released, I guess they're going to release it at Cannes a couple of days before the worldwide release. But the fact that they are now doing zero press screenings or anything else for this film whatsoever.
Yeah, and that's an intriguing question, because, you know, usually when studios do that, they do it because the movie's really bad and they don't want negative reviews to get out there. You know, it's hard to believe that The Da Vinci Code, you know, would be, like, dreadful from a, you know, sort of standard Hollywood perspective. But it may be not as great, you know, and they may not want to risk even, you know, the least little negative review, because, you know, summer's a very competitive time for movies, or else they're just, you know, trying to sort of keep up the hype and keep up the suspense. We don't know.
Right.
Have you been invited to be a part of the Sony Da Vinci train traveling through Europe now?
No. Gee, no, they didn't send me an invitation to that.
Oh, that's too bad, because there's going to be boxcars featuring each chapter of the book, some type of special thing, and I'm just thinking, well, that's an interesting way to spend your marketing money. But whatever you got to do, I guess.
That's right.
Speaking of the movie, you know, we keep going back to this. I think the reason why there's a greater concern, because I think there's a power in film, Amy, don't you, that is different than from those who would read a book?
Oh, yeah. You know, images are very powerful. And one of the things we do know for sure, we've seen this confirmed in various interviews, is that they're going to flesh out the historical, quote, historical material by using flashbacks. Anybody who's read The Da Vinci Code knows that the historical material in the novel is there by way of very long, like, lectures, discussions, and a lot of people have wondered, well, how are they going to translate these, you know, really lengthy, you know, discussions into film. But what they're doing is, you know, of course, condensing them, but also when you, for example, hear somebody, you know, discussing the marriage of Jesus and Mary Magdalene, you'll have a flashback to a wedding feast, and, you know, you hear them discuss Constantine burning books of the Bible or, you know, holy books, and we'll have a flashback of Constantine sort of, you know, rubbing his hands in front of a fire or something like that. Mm. And that's, you know, going to be a powerful kind of image. And, you know, perhaps we'll come back to this later, but I think, you know, my perception, my growing perception is that one of the audiences for this movie is going to be young people. You know, they're not maybe as excited about this movie as they are about, you know, X-Men 3 or Superman Returns, but there is a level of interest in this film by young people who have not read the book. So it's like we're going to have a whole new population of people who are going to be infected by this virus.
Yeah.
I had heard it termed, I can't remember who said it, but they equated it to theological pornography.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, that having an image pop in your head, right, that you'll never be able to get rid of it.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, as I said, the images that are here are specifically there to reinforce, you know, the incorrect historical assertions. Yeah.
Well, and having, what is it, Gandalf? What's his name? Ian McKellen?
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Looking very earnestly. Well, of course.
Yeah.
There are 80 books of Gnostic Gospels, and I didn't call them Gnostic, other Gospels, and they
right,
got rid of.
Exactly.
And for a kid seeing this, and adults.
Right.
Why not? It's Gandalf.
There are a couple clips online that Sony has released, and one of them that I saw yesterday is where Teabing, the Ian McKellen character, is discussing, is informing, you know, revealing the secrets of the Last Supper to Sophie. And, you know, I mean, it's just like it is in the book, but it's, you know, very heightened dramatically. You know, he has her, you know, he has, like, this image of the Last Supper up there, but then he has her close her eyes and say, all right, who is in the painting? And she says, well, Jesus, and, you know, and what does he have in front of him? And she says, oh, a cup, the Grail. And you can see the setup is there. He's mm-hmm. familiar with the book of, you know, oh, of course not. There is no cup, you know, which means that Mary Magdalene is the Holy Grail and all that kind of thing. And it's, you know, it's all very, of course, expertly done. And, you know, there's no alternative presented. And, you know, it's just going to reinforce this widespread perception out there that, you know, people are learning something, you know, true when they engage in this Da Vinci Code business.
I thought it was fascinating, the comments of Cardinal Lorenzi that have just been recently, I think I read something on Reuters, mm-hmm. where he said those who blaspheme Christ and get away with it are exploiting the Christian readiness to forgive and to love even those who insult us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now I'm paraphrasing him, but I think he said something to the effect that other religions wouldn't put up with this.
Right.
Wouldn't tolerate it.
Yeah, he said they'll make it painfully clear to you if you run afoul of any of their theology or people.
Yeah, and we see that all the time, you know, in the States especially, and even in Europe, and quote, artists who regularly, you know, use Christian symbols as a, you know, as a way, to, you know, exploit Christian symbols, and, you know, we would say blaspheme them, but, you know, who would never dare, and institutions which would never dare fund any similar blaspheming of other symbols from other faiths, you know, quite willingly, in the name of, quote, freedom of speech, you know, allowing this to be done to Christian symbols.
Well, and how they twisted some history. And we're going to ask you some specific questions in a moment, but just for our listeners, know that Amy's been very gracious and has been with us in the past, and we have the archived interview on Amy's book, Decoding Mary Magdalene, that you can go back and listen to the discussion that we had on the life of Mary Magdalene, a wonderful book. I just, you know, again, right to the point, and it really brings her to life the way we should know her, and also about the Gnostic Gospels. But we do want to ask you a couple other questions on the movie and on the book.